This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is the Vic Police Glow Show, exclusive to Joy Podcast, presented by Vic Police LGBTI liaison officers and a range of Joy presenters. Now, here's the Glow Show.
You're listening to The Glow Show on Joy 94.9. I'm Matthew Wade, presenter at Joy 94.9 and editor of The Star Observer, and today I'm joined by Jen Dixon, LGBTI Community Portfolio Manager, and Dinesh Nator, Multicultural and LGBTI Liaison Officer with the Victorian Police. Thanks for joining me, guys.
Hi, Matt. How are you?
Hi. How are you going?
Now, today we're joined by Senior Constable Matthew Walker and First Constable Brooke Davis from Shepparton Police to talk about country pride and working with rural LGBTI communities. Thank you as well for joining us.
Thanks, Matt.
G'day, Matt.
So I guess to start off with, I was curious, I mean, how do the Shepparton Police work with the LGBTI community in that area?
Yeah, we go to a lot of community events, such as the Diversity Project's movie night, which was an educational night where we went and learnt about marriage equality through the educational documentary, Freedom to Marry. We also seen a movie called Love Stinks. It's a little 8-minute skit. What was that fruit that was about, Brooke?
I think it was about a durian, wasn't it?
Durian, yeah.
I think that's a Malaysian fruit. I can speak for that. Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
it's a kind of a smelly fruit, I think. Durian, yeah.
Yeah, and
that one.
Yeah, it's a spiky fruit and it's supposed to be like eating ice cream in a toilet, they say.
I wouldn't know about that. But
So this was part of a way to... Was it connecting the LGBTI community with the police or...?
I think it was... So the girl that carries the fruit, she was learning to find who she would love and she was carrying around this durian that wouldn't marry up with a banana.
Oh, right.
And then she eventually found another lady who had a durian, and, yeah, they kicked it off.
And how was the event? I mean, for both of you, I mean, was it a good way to kind of connect and chat with people in the community? I mean, how did you find it?
That was probably the first event that I went to in Shepparton, and it was really good, like, got to know who the community members were that were involved in that, and it was a good way to get in touch with them and see what their groups are about as well as them meeting me, and it was good.
I'm curious, I mean, I obviously from a Joy's perspective or even as a person in the community, I mean, we know some of the issues that face, you know, LGBTI people in a city and in rural areas, but I guess from your perspective, I mean, what do you see some of the challenges facing, you know, LGBTI people out there in more rural areas?
I guess it started off as mostly a farming town and it's grown massively and we've got a really diverse community now, but a lot of the community are still there from before that time and they're still coming to terms with diversity and trying to understand, and it's still a taboo subject in some areas, so a lot of that, it plays a big role, especially when it comes to things like reporting family violence and things like that. People in our community, they still feel like it's that old country town where they're not allowed to just be themselves and be diverse, so I think that's one of the major issues.
Yeah, isolation, public transport's terrible. So seeking support through other support agencies that aren't local is near on impossible unless you've got your licence. So for our youth, I think that's where the Diversity Project comes in, and they sort of they mingle and they get to have a chat with people facing the same issues. However, it is a small it's a large town, but in the same respect, it's tiny. Everyone knows everything people are doing, and yeah, the old farmer sort of isolation. Those are the main issues, I think.
To bring Jen and Dinesh for a second, I mean, from a Victoria Police perspective, I mean, how important is it to kind of not target, but I guess make sure that things are happening like this, initiatives like this in more rural and regional areas to target the LGBTI community in areas where there maybe aren't as many support or resources, I should say.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's crucial. And as we, as Matt was saying, you know, we know that people that are in rural communities, especially from the LGBTI community, are often quite isolated, and some of the services aren't that accessible. So it's crucial that we have, you know, ensuring that the local police contingent is, you know, aware of some of the issues, but also working towards, you know, building that community engagement piece and strong stakeholdership within their own area.
They probably don't even get good radio stations like Joy FM up there. I don't know. Probably not.
Oh, the first I've heard of it, but but Brooke didn't know what it was about.
Well, you mentioned that, you know, obviously you've been doing, you know, had the movie night and things as ways to, I guess, connect with the community. I mean, what is the relationship like between, and I guess, the local police, like in Shepparton, and LGBTI people out there? I mean, are people comfortable, you know, coming forward and chatting about those issues that you mentioned earlier?
Those part of support groups, they're aware of us.
Yeah.
But Brooke and I were speaking on the way down, and through football and things like that, she can explain a bit more about that, but they don't know too much about us, and they're starting to learn through stuff that Brooke is doing in the community.
Yeah, Brooke, is that just...
Yeah, I think it's a big part of it that a lot of that community aren't engaged with all of our support groups. Mm. Some of it is that they don't know that they're there, and others is that they don't really feel the need to engage with the support group, so they're just going about their lives. And not having that, they don't have that interaction with Victoria Police where they learn that there are such a thing as GLOWs that they can speak to for advice or whatever it may be that they need. I think just getting amongst those people and handing out flyers and word of mouth is a massive thing. So I've been going around just telling people, you know, did you know that there's such a thing as a GLOW? Here's some information, look it up.
Yeah.
Things like that to try and engage that part of the community that aren't aware.
Well, that's actually interesting. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I mean, for particularly younger people, maybe that might not even be aware that GLOW offices, you know, exist. How is the word, is it spread, I guess? Is it mostly through word of mouth and just knowing, hearing it from other people? Or?
A lot of it is. A lot of it's through word of mouth and just hearing that that's the thing. And I think sometimes on websites and things like that, a lot of people who are exploring, that they go and have a look for some information and advice, and they do see you can speak to Victoria Police. There is such a thing as a GLOW. But other people come into our station and they see we've got like a brochure stand set up with our brochures on it and that, and you do see people collect those to have a read and find out about it. There's certainly people coming in that are saying to us, you know, I want to engage with the GLOW, so that's really good to see that word's getting out there.
We also have two great advocates in the community, Damien Stevens and Georgina Port, and they really pump our tyres up in the community too about the GLOW role.
Yeah, and it's also one of the aspects of the GLOW role is that people actually volunteer for it. So we don't want to force people into any particular proactive role. So it's something that people come to of their own volition, and we're really fortunate that we've almost tripled the amount of GLOWs over the last couple of years, and we've got about 220 now. And so, you know, not every area unfortunately has GLOWs yet, but there are an increasing amount, especially in regional and rural areas. And one thing we're looking at is increasing the visibility, so getting that marketing out there. We tend to try and put out, you know, we don't want to overload people with communications. We find that if we send out too many comms, people will hit the delete button.
They move back, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and there's a lot of stuff going on. In policing is just, you know, always inundated with lots and lots of comms going out. So we try and keep it, you know, to a reasonable amount. Having said that, though, we do need to increase the visibility, particularly in rural areas, like the guys are saying. So it's definitely one thing that's keen on our radar at the moment, whilst also not trying to saturate it too much.
Yeah, of course. And Dinesh, I was going to ask, I mean, in terms of your role, I mean, how does the role of the multicultural liaison officer intersect with the LGBTI community?
Look, I think it intersects in a lot of ways. I mean, not only are some people from ethnic background in the LGBTI community, but I think a lot of the time it's a double whammy, because, you know, they're treated with prejudice because of their background, and again treated with prejudice because of their sexual orientation or whatever it is. So in a lot of ways it does intersect, you know, quite often. But, you know, our main role is to encourage people to come forward when they are victims of prejudice motivated crime or incidents. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they can report it to us, you know, we'll investigate it, and we'll also, if it's an incident, we have to know about it, therefore put in some incident reports and information reports and find out how we can help them and help the whole community.
Like Dinesh, I'm also a multicultural liaison, and in Shepparton we're very multicultural, very diverse, and I wear the GLOW badge on my vest. And, it challenges a few people, especially the elders in a lot of the communities. And they talk about gay, lesbian liaison officer, and they go, well, how does that happen? You can't do that. And, well, you can.
Well, I mean, how do the people that I guess, aren't, I guess, on board with it necessarily in the community, or they're just not aware of it, and so it's new to them? I mean, what's generally the kind of feedback?
That it's not within our culture. They're not allowed to do that. And things like that, but the same as forced marriage and things like that. You challenge them. And you continually do that. You wear that in the community. You don't hide it. And I think we'll eventually get through.
Have there been instances where, I guess, you have reached out to people from, I guess, multicultural backgrounds, but it's actually proved quite fruitful? So, like, I mean, you've spoken to them and it's, yeah, I guess they've reached out to you and it's, yeah, it's been received quite well?
Sometimes, but I've got friends that I'll call friends because I will invite them over for a drink and that, but they, well, probably not a drink, but they still won't accept it.
Yeah.
I had tea at one of the houses the other night and I just... out of curiosity, just asked what they voted.
Mm. Oh, for the postal survey, yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty much like a lead balloon, so
yeah.
I didn't continue with that conversation.
You could hear crickets.
Yeah.
Actually, I mean, I know that's topical at the moment. Have people spoken to you guys about that? I mean, it's going on at the moment. Has there been much around the postal survey in relation to the community in Shepparton? Or?
Not that I've seen, not in Shepparton so much. Everyone's talking about it, which is really good that people are talking about it. But we've just mostly been focused on being aware that it could spike up some hate speech and things like that, and mostly just talking amongst ourselves as police, saying, you know, we need to be on the lookout for what's happening in our community because people are talking about it and we're bound to see a spike in those things. But other than that, I haven't seen anything untoward.
And so I guess you mentioned, sorry, yeah, of course, I guess you mentioned some of the ways to bridge, not the gap, but I guess... to connect with the community more is by having events like these. I mean, there's obviously stuff upcoming, am I right? There's a Out in the Open festival coming up in November.
Yeah, so the Out in the Open festival has been happening in Shepparton for a fair while. It starts on the 2nd of November and finishes on the 5th of November.
Yeah.
Through that period, there's a few dinners and forums, and there's a massive festival that happens at the Queen's Gardens in Shepparton on the Saturday, which is the 4th of November. I won't be there, unfortunately, this year. It'll be the first year out of the last four that I'll miss because I'll be at a wedding. And but yeah, it's a great, it's a bit of a gala day, and heaps is happening. So if you're in Shepparton or interested in coming to have a look at Shepparton, get there on the Saturday. And come have a feed and watch the entertainment.
And I imagine that's also a great opportunity for the police to also, you know, be visible and to show that they are there and can be contactable, I imagine, as well, right?
Yeah, it's certainly right. There's always a police presence there, and we always make sure that we're engaging with the community and showing our support for them as well, and that we're there whenever they need us.
Has it kind of, I guess, I mean, obviously it's moving in the right direction in terms of increased visibility and people being aware. Has that only happened, particularly in Shepparton? I mean, obviously in rural areas it's been a more of a process, but in recent times, like it's only kind of been a very recent development, like hosting these events to connect with the LGBTI community? Or?
I can't really speak on that front because I'm only new to Shepparton.
Like I mentioned his name before, Damien Stevens. He's been doing a lot of this stuff for the last decade. I've only been in this role for the last 4 years. Prior to that, I think it's been going for maybe 7 years.
Yeah, and there's a diversity project as well, is that correct?
Yeah, diversity projects, that's the youth group.
Yeah.
I go and have a chat to them sometimes, and just a bit of a feed, have a talk about some of the issues they might be facing.
And are these people just that have put their hand up and want to kind of, you know, help to keep you guys across some of the issues maybe people in the community are facing, or how does that come about?
So they're part of the LGBTI community. Yeah, they meet regularly. They meet every Monday night. And they're open the doors for whenever we want to pop in and say good day.
Great. And that's obviously proved quite well. I think it's a great opportunity, obviously, for you guys to be across some of the stuff that's going on.
Yeah, definitely. I really enjoy going there, and we learn a lot from it.
And I think it's important, like our jobs as liaison officers, because that's really, you know, what we are. We're almost a finger on the pulse, and our job is to take that information and feed it through to the police force, to the policy makers and things like that, so we all know what's going on ground level.
Yeah. Some of these, like, contacts that we make might be their very first positive interaction with police, so it's important that we do it. And, it creates a chance for us to promote policing as a career path too.
Well, that's true as well. And I imagine, to add on to that, sorry, that that's probably part of the how vital GLOW officers are, because it kind of helps to, you know, make that relationship really strong and show that there are, you know...
There is acceptance.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I was just going to finally ask, I guess, both of you, you mentioned there are still issues obviously facing LGBTI people in rural areas, but I guess, do you feel that we're moving in a positive direction, and do you feel like we're moving to a space where some of those things can be tackled a lot more through the GLOW officers and people like yourselves?
Yeah, certainly we are. Since moving up to Shepparton myself, initially I thought this is going to be a closed-off environment and it's going to be a hard one to tackle. I've found it's not at all. Most people are open. They're open to have conversations with. They're becoming more and more accepting. I'm finding less people in the community that aren't accepting or that don't know what's going on, and that most people are ready for this change that's happening in our culture.
Yeah, I totally agree with Brooke there. And like our multicultural path, it slowly evolves and we'll get there.
Yeah, and I believe it's all about human rights and at the bottom of everything. So, and as Matt said, you know, eventually the change will happen, you know, as we've seen what's happened the last 10 years, really.
Thanks again for tuning in to another episode of GLOW on Joy 94.9. I'm Matthew Wade, and today we were joined by Senior Constable Matthew Walker and First Constable Brooke Davis, as well as Jen Dixon and Dinesh Natur from Victoria Police. Thank you again, everyone, for joining me.
Thank you.
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Vic Police GLOW Show, exclusive to Joy Podcast, presented by Vic Police LGBTI liaison officers and a range of Joy presenters. Head to joy.org.au/theGLOW Show to find more episodes or search Joy 94.9 GLOW Show on iTunes. Subscribe so you never miss an episode. Rate and review if you like what you hear.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.